We come to adore him, and then God sends us back out to go. That's our sermon message this morning, which we're anticipating and excited for. I have the pleasure to introduce Jerry Keener and Andy Macias. I know both of them. Jerry is family, his cousin once removed, and Andy's a good friend of mine as well. And also want us to make sure Sherry Ober is here as well from EMM. So actually, when I did my YES assignment, Sherry helped me to get connected back in 2003. So it's great to have everyone here. Part of the context of them being here this morning is that there is an exciting new project that's in anticipation for 2020, which is a capital campaign project for EMM to move locations to Lancaster City on Prince Street. So we can be thinking about that as Jerry comes and shares with us this morning, and Andy as well. The scripture text that Jerry picked out this morning is from Genesis 12. He's going to be focusing on verse 1, but we're going to read 1 to 3 for the whole context here. Let's stand for the reading of the word, if able. Now the Lord has said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Blessings to you, Jerry.
Thank you, Randy, and thank you for this invitation to be here this morning. I have enjoyed my time here so far, getting acquainted with the folks that are here that I didn't know are here. It's like seeing some of my friends in their routine habitat, and I just want to express appreciation for all of the support and involvements of this congregation with work through EMM over the years. My first acquaintance with Chris was in New York City. As a VSer, I think I got that right, correct? Or am I thinking of somebody else?
I was working at Camp Deer Park and you were in
VSA. Ah, okay. So that was it. Okay. Well, it's close. and of course, John and Miriam were served in New York City for a number of years, and Janet in Guatemala, and Wes, Camp Deer Park. I remember this, and there's probably others that I've missed, but over the years, just many of you serving God through many different ways here and around the world. So I've given you the first part of the sermon title, which is Go, which comes from this scripture. And the reason I've given you that first part is because I see a pattern in this call of Abraham. And I've also seen this same pattern in the songs that are shared today and in your congregations. Is that kind of like your mission, figuring out together how to be the community of faith in this place? This is representing a journey, and the song from the Northumbria group also expressed this very eloquently of the situations that we're in, but we don't know exactly what it's about, and God leads us through that. Similarly, with Abraham, the Lord said to him, go from your country, and I will show you. So that's the last part of the sermon title, go, and I will show you. The reality is, any kind of call that God gives to us is a journey. And I see this theme repeated as a pattern over and over in the scriptures, where even in Isaiah, when Isaiah was called, the question was sent out, who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. And then God said, okay, go and tell people, and he gave them instructions on what to do. Similarly, Jesus, when he called the disciples, he said, come, follow me. But he didn't tell them the rest of the story. They lived it out. And when I think about my own life, it was over 40 years ago that I first received a call from EMM and Seventh Avenue Mennonite Church to go to New York City. And that's where I met Chris and some of these other wonderful people here. And it's interesting how that going to New York City for 3 years turned into 19 years in New York City as I got involved in pastoring and working with youth, spent a week at Camp Deer Park, and also then sharing and working with Heartsease Home for quite a number of years. And then EMM called us to Vietnam as a family. I have a wife and two children. And we spent, we went to Vietnam for 3 years as well, but ended up being there 12 years. So I'm not sure what this call for 3 years and being there for longer represents. I've told the board at EMM now as president that I could give them up to 3 years. At that point, I'd like to retire and do some other things God's calling us to do. But who knows what the future is. But the point is that God calls and says, go. And that might be go across the room. It might be a go across the street. It might be a go across town. It might be go somewhere. And he doesn't show us always ahead of time what that's going to look like. But we discover it along the way, as Abraham also was shown, as God showed him what would be. So this is a journey, and EMM, similarly, is being called to go or move to Lancaster. And what does that look like? Well, just a little background on EMM. EMM, as you may know, is an organization that's been around for over 100 years, and for many years served in both home ministries here in the Lancaster County area in Lancaster City. Welsh Mountain Home was started through EMM, as were many other projects and churches, and then overseas. And I'm just remembering that when they were called to Africa in the 1930s, they didn't know exactly where they would go in Africa. They landed there and they asked questions. Where has the gospel not been shared? And they ended up in the western part of Tanzania near Lake Victoria, and God journeyed with us there. So over these 100 years, some 7,000 workers have served through EMM in 21 states in the U.S. and 109 countries. And out of that, many church groups have been developed in East Africa, Central America, and Asia. As of this past year, there have been 172 people serving in 35 countries, still connected to EMM. EMM's mission statement is God's transforming love compels us to cross cultures, engage the world, and make disciples of Jesus. One of our workers has said, if you cross cultures, that's good, but that's basically what a tourist will do. If you cross cultures and engage the world, that's even maybe better, but then you're a humanitarian. But if you cross cultures, engage the world, and make disciples of Jesus, then you are an EMM missionary, or maybe some other missionary. But the point is that we are about transformation as a work of the love of Jesus in us. So the context for this move to Lancaster is that missions keeps changing. The context of missions keeps changing. It used to be that the missions was from the West to the rest, said rather crassly. But now it's from anywhere to everywhere. And we have missionaries coming from other countries to the United States. We also have missionaries from the United States going to other countries. We also have missionaries that are working cross-culturally within our own country. The move to Lancaster, I believe, is strategic in that it places us into proximity where people are, as Jesus also placed himself into proximity where people were. And It also offers us an opportunity to more focused work with refugees and immigrants in our city. EMM does a lot of work cross-culturally around the globe, and we believe that the opportunity that we have here in Lancaster to reach out to the recent immigrants and refugees in our community offers us many different opportunities of engaging in this work. So the impact of how things are changing is leading us to Lancaster, and we will continue to send missionaries to other countries. That's still part of what we need to do. But at the same time, we feel that being in a different context helps us to have a different conversation and to challenge us in new ways. You might remember that Lancaster was named the Refugee Capital of America a couple years ago by BBC. It was interesting that an English paper, broadcasting company, identified that, noting that the Lancaster area has sponsored 20 times more refugees per capita than any other place in the United States. And this congregation is part of that. I just learned this morning that 10 years ago you sponsored some folks, and I'm sure that that's happened a number of times over and over again. So the reality is that people are here in our doorstep, right on our doorstep, that need the gospel. They're from different countries and places all around, and many of them are coming from places where we can no longer go. It's hard to get visas to share the gospel in other places. And what the dynamic is with internet and cheap travel these days, when persons come here, they hear about the gospel, they also stay in touch with their home community and carry that back with them to their home communities. So there's a whole dynamic that's possible in this context. Just a little bit of background on the project development. It was some years ago that we identified an innovation team at EMM to think about how we can continue to evolve and flex and adapt to the changing context of missions. And this team did quite a bit of study and after some time suggested that we consider moving to Lancaster City, recognizing that when you change your location, you change the conversation. And I know this is so dramatically because when I moved from the farm in Elizabethtown to New York City, it just changes the conversation. And in that process of living in other countries, mostly Vietnam and New York City, which I would consider another country, at least somewhat another country, that it changes how you think, it changes how you understand other people, and it's a challenge that transforms you over time. And I know that for a fact, I am not the same person now that I was 40 years ago when I first went to New York City to live and serve there. So by moving to Lancaster puts that challenge on our doorstep, and it also keeps us open to changes and changing things that we need to consider. The board approved exploring this and actually making this move back some years ago, and this property at North Prince Street became available. It was listed at $2 million, and so we looked at it and we thought, wow, this would serve our needs well. It's got space that we can use for ministry, perhaps. It's got space for office, and for those of you who drive cars, it has parking. So that's a very important part of it. But we didn't feel like this was the time to move yet, and so we just kept thinking and praying and talking to people in the community and other churches and church organizations and said, what would you think about EMM moving its office to Lancaster? And they said, wow, welcome. That would be wonderful. So we kept thinking about that and praying about that. And then, a few years ago, about a year later, after we were in this process, the seller called us and said, I think EMM should have this property, I'm going to drop the price in half, just $1 million instead of $2 million. But you have 10 days to decide. Well, you know how that is. So we got our heads together, and the board made a decision to go ahead with the purchase, and here we are. But interestingly, we didn't exactly know what all this meant at the time, and that's why this call from Abraham to go, and I will show you, I think is very relevant for this situation, because God is calling us to do this move, and he's provided already quite a lot of resources, but not all that we need. And he's also providing some sense of what kind of ministry we will be involved there. But that's not terribly clear yet as well. But I believe that this is a journey that God has us on, and that he will show us clearly the way as we go. One of the things we've done in the last year and a half is developed a ministry, what we call a 450 ministry team, to pray and discern and to talk with people in the community as to what kinds of ministry might EMM support in that location. And after hearing a lot of different perspectives and so forth and listening, the idea of creating a hospitality center has emerged, and that is what we're working on at this point. We'll hear a little bit more about that in a moment. But the idea is to create space in that area where persons can come from the Lancaster city and county area and be in conversation together across ethnic lines, across religious lines, and so forth, a place of meeting, and especially with the immigrants and refugees in mind. So that is a very exciting prospect, and we look for how God will lead us in fleshing that out more in the future. Just a few weeks ago, there were 5 youth groups from Lancaster City, actually 4 from Lancaster and 1 from Lititz, who were at that site for what we call sensory gospel experience. Often we hear about the gospel through words, but this was an experiential experience through touch, hearing, taste, feel, all that kind of thing. And I was asked to introduce this group and give them some orientation to this exercise. And when I got in there, there were these 40 young people from Lancaster running around, and I thought, wow, this really tells me how long it's been since I've been working with young people in New York City. But these were like, they took me back 40 years to the young people in New York City that I worked with. And I thought, wow, these are like those kids. And it was very exciting. Among the 40 youth were another 10 adults who were their advisors and so forth. And after the whole experience was finished, I thought, you know, this felt so right for these city kids to be here in Lancaster on Prince Street for this experience. We could have done this anywhere else in the county, but to have done it there on their doorstep just kind of put it in context for what their lives are about and raised and made that so much more meaningful. So who knows what God will lead us to yet in that, but we invite you to join us in this project. So without further ado, I'm going to sit down and give Andrew some time, so he has some time left. We're going to see a video that's going to give you an overview of this project, and then Andrew will share some more specific details, and then how you might become involved as individuals or congregation from here. Thank you. Transform our lives, and it's not only the people who are not yet knowing Jesus who need to be transformed, but we ourselves need to be continuously transformed in our walk with Jesus.
We've learned over the years that moving, changing someone's location, adds to understanding and perspective that doesn't happen otherwise. And so EMM has a long history of sending missionaries to many different countries.
Their missional models have been very successful, but have been flexible over time. And I think early on, they concentrated on the rural parts of our globe.
By 2008, Half the world was living in an urban area, and EMM itself is increasingly working in urban areas.
For many years, EMM was involved locally in different types of ministries, but the vast majority of its work has been overseas over the last 100 years. And as you move into other contexts and other cultures, you think about how you bring the love of Christ into that context, and so where you are really matters. And so now we have an opportunity to do that in a new, fresh way right here in Lancaster City.
This property is a very desirable property, both the location and where development is happening here in the city. And the owner, I understand, really felt strongly and compelled that EMM was to be here. So strongly, in fact, that reduced the price by half so that it made it accessible and affordable for us to obtain this building.
So we're owners of this Droopy Company, which is based in Lancaster City. What we do is hire refugees. Sometimes it's the first time they get employment in the U.S.
When we heard that Eastern Mennonite Missions had bought this property, we were excited just to think about what their engagement in the city would look like. The city is a central place. The nations of the world literally are all around us. We all of a sudden started realizing that all these resettled refugee families were moving right into our neighborhood, and it was like such a almost surprise. Like, it was something unexpected that we hadn't really thought about when we moved to our neighborhood.
We're really eager to turn the first floor into what we're calling a hospitality center. We will be knocking out quite a few of the walls and creating a cafe, commercial kitchen, and a large and small meeting space. We're very interested in cross-cultural training and cross-cultural relationships and making people feel welcome and at home no matter sort of where they're from or who they are.
I was really encouraged that they would take time to ask people that have lived here and have been a part of the fabric of this community. I felt like that was really honoring to the city, that they would take that time to hear from those of us that have lived here.
Our offices in Salonga were kind of dispersed, but this will enable us all to be on the same floor.
Being a city resident, I love to see old buildings being renovated and used again. And I also think it's a great idea for EMM to have all its offices in one location.
Your involvement is limited by your imagination.
We need lots and lots of different people engaging in many different ways. We're going to invite many different people who have skills and trades and the labors. It'll be an opportunity to do multi-year pledges, up to 5 years, cash gifts. There's an opportunity to do estate planning and larger bequest gifts. Last but not least, people's time and people's prayer.
This is a way of walking the path that Jesus would walk.
Oh, good morning, everyone. Is this on? I promise I will not pass out on stage. I got back from Camp Hebron late last night. I was hanging out with your junior youth. I actually had lunch with Whitmer Heights specifically yesterday, and I don't have as much energy as they do, clearly. I am not the target demographic of that retreat anymore, but yeah, it's good to be here. This is actually, I think, my third or fourth time being in this congregation. Always really enjoy being here. I just wanted to go over very briefly some of the more specifics about ways in which this church and you as individuals or as a congregation can get engaged with the project itself. But before I do that, I just wanted to make a comment about one of the largest overarching questions I get from people when they hear about this project, when they hear about EMM moving from Salonga to Lancaster City, and that is, why is EMM doing this? What's the point? What can you do, or what can you do in Lancaster City that you can't do in Salonga? But the idea of why is EMM doing this, it makes me realize that the person that is asking me that question doesn't really know the same EMM that I know. Because the EMM that I know, since 1914, has been pushing Lancaster County Mennonites in particular into areas of the unknown, and sometimes, just maybe, the uncomfortable. it's odd to receive a question as to why a mission organization would do something this drastic and crazy, when for 100 years we've been sending people all over the world into places of civil unrest, in places of oppression, in other religious contexts all over the world. It's who EMM has always been and will continue to be. And that's why we're doing it. That is why we feel called to. But what does it look like specifically? What does it look like in January of 2020? Jerry gave a little bit of an outline about how we actually got up to this point of where we are, and what does now the future look like for this upcoming year? This upcoming year is actually going to be the most transformative year of the entire project. After purchasing the building now 4 or 5 years ago, it feels surreal to say before everyone here that renovations are actually starting in the third week of February of this year. It's kind of, I actually haven't said that out loud to a group of people before, but I have been part of this. I've been on staff now for almost 10 years, and I can remember the day that we purchased this building. I remember where I was when we purchased the building, and the journey that has led up to this point. It's just so surreal to actually say out loud, yeah, in like, 4 or 5 weeks, this is going. This is starting. And so what does it look like? There's a variety of things of how it looks financially, how people can get engaged, particularly once renovations start. That's the key. Because there are a lot of opportunities for volunteering, particularly in helping craft and make that space into what I believe God intends for it to be. If there's one thing I know, and I take this as someone who has a family history of Mennonites swinging hammers, I'll say that. I have a family history that actually took the call in the early 70s to come to my hometown area and rebuild my grandparents' home after Hurricane Agnes. So don't tell me you guys don't swing hammers. I know you do. I've been there since I was a little kid in that house that was constructed by you. And so now we're asking again to make a sort of community, because that's what we value, I think, as Mennonites and Anabaptists, how we can do this together. This is not an EMM thing. This is us and we. And how does that look? Particularly in the last 2 weeks of February is when our general contractor is looking for volunteer labor. If anyone is a... what's that? Oh, never mind. I was going to say, what's that Chip and Joanna Gaines show called? They have Demo Day. Is that a thing? My wife says it's a thing. Anyway, so we're going to have basically demo weeks, the last 2 weeks in February, where, people will have the opportunity to come and really help lay the groundwork for what a lot of the trades will come in and work on, the HVAC systems, the flooring, the painting, all that stuff. So if you're interested in something like that, please feel free to talk to me afterwards. I didn't get a chance to hand these out with the bulletins, but I would like, if you don't mind, to hand these out as we're sort of exiting this brochure in particular. And inside is an insert that talks about the different ways in which you as individuals can get engaged with the project and as a congregation. So just to be clear, and I want to be cognizant of the time as well, the building as it stands on 450 North Prince Street, if you can visualize, and people were asking me this at Camp Hebron yesterday, it's sort of sandwiched in between the Barnstormers Stadium there on Prince Street and then up, I guess, it's between James and Lemon Streets. And what's fascinating is there's this notion of EMM who has sent missionaries, thousands of people across the world, into the world. But this move in particular makes it feel like for the first time, we are exposing EMM to the world. And that's a fascinating place to be. When you have eyes of a city, a very reputable city for its welcoming posture, to find a mission organization that has existed for well over 100 years, but being able to help and aid in those welcoming efforts, particularly for refugee and immigrant communities. It's a two-floor structure. The second floor is going to be administrative offices where we will continue to send workers around the world like we've always done, continue to equip people with their callings, train and help them discern areas around the world that they could possibly serve and send them. The first floor, as it alluded to in the video, we are looking to develop a hospitality center, particularly for the refugee and immigrant communities. And there's a notion that we have been working actually quite diligently with a variety of different community groups to help that become a reality. A friend of mine, it's fascinating because a friend of mine in Lancaster who is from Somalia, I asked him one time, you know, this was coming off the heels of someone asking me, what can EMM do in this space that they can't do in Salonga? And so I asked my Somali friend. There's a pretty thriving Somali community in Lancaster. And I asked him, I said, would you bring your friends out to the EMM offices in Salonga? He said, no, not really. It's not very practical to take like a busload of Somalis down in the middle of the cornfields of Salonga. But he said, but when you open that building, let me know, and I'll bring my friends, because I want to have them to have a dialogue with your Christian friends. This is a Muslim man sort of asking for that dialogue. So when someone asked me what we can do in this space that we can't do in Salonga, sometimes I just think of anything and everything. We recognize that this is a once in 100 year ask and appeal, particularly for financial support and for volunteering efforts. I truly do believe that this particular move will be able to position EMM to flourish into the 21st century, into the future. And I invite you all to be part of that, however you see fit. And like I said, you can see either Jerry or Sherry or I afterwards. And I would end with asking for prayer, continued prayer for this project. Like I said, in a month's time, it's going. And asking for the guidance and provision of the same God who has led us up to this point is always welcome. Thank you.